Hi, and welcome to Cargo Conversations, a series of podcasts about cargo risks and ways of effectively managing them. This first series of Cargo Conversations covers supply chain security. I'm Bob Valenti, and for this conversation, I'm joined by Julian Talladine, a supply chain security risk mitigation specialist with over 40 years hands-on experience in the security business, almost half of that being spent in the supply chain industry. According to a range of formal data available in the public domain, global cargo theft losses are in excess of $50 billion annually. As part of considering underlying issues and causes, in our first two podcasts, we looked into the criminals involved in supply chain theft and the vulnerabilities and attack points in the supply chain. In today's conversation, we're going to look at what can be done to counter the criminal threat to large-scale theft in the supply chain. Julian, there's quite a lot of things that can be considered here, but what's your take on the approach to countering this criminal threat?
Good morning, Bob, and thank you for asking me to come along. Look, I think I'll start here just with a rather sometimes radical view, but we talk about losses. I think you mentioned 50 billion losses. Well, in my world, my household or anywhere else, if you lose something, it's careless. Now, I know it's terminology, but I believe that all of those losses, thefts, were preventable. Now, that's a bit of a big statement to make. But I believe that when you look back into an incident, you look at all the reasons why the criminals were successful. You look at all the reasons why we, the good guys, were not successful. And within there somewhere is the answer of how to prevent them in the future. The first thing I would say is we are not going to be able to stop the criminals doing what they do, crime. They will be carrying out theft. What we want to do is to deter them from looking at our stuff, move them to a different direction. If they find that a particular consignment, which had been attractive, now has caused them a whole bunch of pain, they'll look at something else. So let's get back to your question in a bit more detail. Throughout my long security career, whenever I've been given a task, a mission, whatever it may be, the very first thing I've done is looked at the situation as it stands here and now. And starting with a review, a deep review, a deep dive. I've never done an audit, but a bit like an audit. An audit being something that those wonderful auditors carry out and everyone runs for cover when they arrive. I'm talking about a thorough, deep review into any existing plans that may be in place or may not. Having looked at that situation and then gone into them, trying to understand what is the ethos of the company or the project owners, whatever this mission may be. What do they want to do? What are they trying to achieve?
And Julian, you mentioned the potential of reviewing existing plans. In your experience, do many large corporate companies involved in supply chain activities have security plans in place? What is your experience?
The answer is yes, they would most definitely have something in place. It's what is in place which comes into question. Maybe sometime in the past, there was a security hero who knuckled down and got some really detailed security plans together, drove himself to an early grave almost in trying to get this embedded and working. That was 10 years ago. In that 10 years, the company's moved on, they've changed, they've done this, people have moved on, but it's still seen as the security plan, which of course is most likely to be have big holes in it all over the place. The other type of security plan I've seen is the, oh damn, we're being audited. And very quickly, rushing around, writing a plan, it all looks beautiful, it's gilded. But the only person who knows what the content of that is the person who's written it. There's been no dissemination, no embedding of that plan to make it work. So it varies from one end of the scale to the other. And there are some companies out there who make a really good effort, but they are only as good as what they know. I found it a great benefit to bring together the experiences of neighboring companies. If we're talking about warehouse attacks, bring them together as a community. If we're talking about a particular type of consignment which is being attacked, trying to get the intelligence together to understand better, to inform the plan.
Okay, so when we go into our review, as you're suggesting, the deep dive, how does that happen and what are the steps that are typically taken?
Again, what I would do in the very first instance is identify and look at the security threats. These are the broad threats. From the threats come the specific security risks. And then once you've identified those, is to look at those risks in the light of the business activity, the business ethos, and pull them apart, look at it in fine detail. Normally, with any risk program, you have two elements. You have the impact and you have the likelihood. Now, the impact can be many things. We talked about the financial losses earlier on. That's one of the impacts. It can be severe. It could be the closure of an industry. It could be death and injury. The impacts generally do not change. It's very difficult to reduce an impact. You can move it to one side by having it insured. You can stop doing that activity, but that might otherwise affect the business in an adverse way. What we really focus on are the likelihood, the causes of that risk. And by identifying the causes, we can look together to reduce the likelihood of the risk down to the lowest end of the scale on our risk template. Once there, you've done all you can to prevent this happening, but it could still happen. Then we must have a plan of what to do in the event of it happening.
So we look at impact and likelihood. Yeah. And that helps us, I guess, in most risk assessment scenarios to establish a platform from which we can identify priorities, priority actions to be considered, and the building of a plan, which will typically have numerous components and the priorities in that plan. Can you talk about building a plan from the assessment phase, having looked at, identified and graded, if you like, the security risks and threats?
Yes, indeed. And you're right. It is the platform. It's the foundation. And if you can visualize a very simple 3x3 table, whereas along the bottom, going from left to right, is the likelihood increasing from left to right, and the impact is increasing from bottom to top. Therefore, way up there in the top right corner are those elements, those things, those actions, those risks, which are going to keep you awake at night. In terms of priority, That's the highest priority. And then in building the security plan, it's, as I mentioned earlier, predicated on reducing the likelihood of a risk occurring. And it's through thoroughly analysing the likelihood that gives us the actions that we can take. Now, those actions, the risk mitigation plan, will be a combination of things. They may be physical measures. They may be technical measures. But above all, they are procedures and protocols. Procedures and protocols are the glue and also the soul, the life of a plan. It's what brings it all together and makes it work. Very simple example. Let's go back to boots and hats security. Yeah, you've got a facility, and you've decided that there was a threat, and then a risk from a very active gang in that region who were using heavy construction material to plow their way through a wall, through the wall of the warehouses, grabbing and running away. This does happen. And so the company put in a lot of effort into building a wall, a ditch, jersey barriers, a whole bunch of stuff. But of course, normal delivery vehicles have to come in and out. And there was a chicane, and the managing of that chicane is down to the humans operating it, the guards operating it. The guards are outsourced. I think security guards are wonderful people, if handled properly, if trained properly. But one of them goes sick, another guy's on, doesn't quite know what to do. Procedures fall apart. All of your jersey barriers, your six-foot walls and things fall apart because the guys can drive through the front gate.
So really,
a little example.
It's a good example because each element of a plan should in itself, whilst it should be a part of a cohesive overall plan, but each element of its plan should afford an effective solution to the security issue at hand. What that example you gave demonstrates an incomplete plan, an incomplete execution maybe, whereby there was still a vulnerability, a residual vulnerability in that aspect of the plan. Just listening to some of that example and putting myself momentarily onto the board of directors of that company and saying, wow, you know, these guys have come in, this specialist has got an interesting and positively practical background in security, but he wants us to spend £150,000 building barriers and strengthening our walls. And, you know, that's something that's going to impact our results this year, next and beyond. And it's impracticable for us and it doesn't fit our budgetary requirements. What's the response to that guy?
The view of that guy is exceptionally important. And I would seek that view in the very beginning of this process, in that review, in that deep dive. To understand why they were there now, on the top of a hill with no wall, just a ditch. Why? Why? Because we don't have the cash flow. Why? Because there's never been a problem. There can be a whole bunch of reasons why. And then when it comes to doing that analysis and pulling together a plan, there's never just one way of doing things. There's a number of ways of doing things. There's a number of ways of reducing a risk. And if I was working for a client who wanted to reduce cargo risks, cargo thefts, for example, then, okay, you look at that, you look at all the elements of it, and then you would present the board of directors, the manager, the director, whoever's involved, with options.
Yeah, and I think one of the aspects that springs to my mind, Julian, is the concept of having a plan, prioritizing, and then progressing on the process of continuous improvement. Because that, as long as the priorities are right, a progressive development of the security solution is something that could potentially work. How do you feel about that?
Any plan is only as good as its last evaluation, and it should be a regular process. You've got an excellent plan in place, it's working. It does not mean it's going to continue working tomorrow. One must always look at it, review it, test it, and especially in the light of specific incidents, let's say on that site or in that particular activity, or in similar sites in the region. Reevaluate, look at it, test it, penetration testing, everything necessary to ensure that that plan is up to date and in line with the current threats and intelligence.
Yeah, and actions and recommendations identified are being actively considered and put into place. I would say that from a different perspective, in my experience, many independent risk assessments from a security perspective have been undertaken over the years, and then that report is welcomed because it's it's in itself, it provides an overview, an update on a risk scenario. The report contains recommended actions, could be overview or detailed, and then that report effectively gets put in someone's desk drawer or filed on a computer somewhere, and nothing is ever done. And I think one of these challenges in terms of reacting is sometimes just having the review done seems like good enough, that we've had an expert look at this or a specialist come in and look at this. And, you know, we think that we've got most of these spots covered. We'll just do a couple of these smaller actions ourselves. Thanks very much. But I think that's a challenge that we probably face in the real world of commerce.
Indeed it is. And it is a very big challenge, but it is one that any security manager worth his salt will not give up. Will keep pushing. And I just wanted to, in that process, when one's looking to see whether something has been put in place, the typical audit approach, right, last year we looked at doing this, that, and the other, what have you done about it? Well, we've engaged three companies and they're going to, jolly good, well done, move on, next one. And there's still a gaping hole in there.
Yeah.
Now, my type of review, I look, I'm afraid I'm not going to give you the trade secrets here, but I look day one for specific pointers that would tell me whether or not this was a homogeneous controlled operation or whether there were holes in it, whether there were problems. I'll give you one little example. One person in a control room. Now, that would just ring alarm bells in my head, left, right and centre. Why? Because, well, not only could he be out having a comfort break when the action was going down, or, as has happened, he could be the one that, oh, there's an alarm. OK, he acknowledges it, but doesn't do anything about it. One small example. I've got a list like that of pointers. So I look at a company's own plan, their own actions, and then I measure it against their own plan, plus also with a mind to the general vulnerabilities that a criminal will look for to exploit. And doesn't really answer your question on how to maintain a security plan and keep it functional and operating. That has to be by continual review and external review to ensure that it is fit for purpose.
And I think one thing that springs to my mind, Julian, is the level of detail and complexity in any type of business contingency or control plan. We've all seen them running into tens and occasionally hundreds of pages of process and protocol and recommendations and procedures of how to go about certain aspects of your business, in this case, security. And I think, one of the challenges is to ensure that plans and the specific content of plans is in a format that is not too complex, easy to understand, easy actions, and relatively, in my opinion, in most cases, a relatively short to the point plan. I'm sure you've seen a vast range of security plans that possibly need or deserve complexity.
Well, there will be a security plan in a business that will be in a big fat folder. There has to be, if it is a complex business. But the test is, when you go to the, let's take an example, go to the guardhouse, and you say to Pavel, hey, Pavel, can I have a look at your security plan, your tasks? Now, if he pulls out a one-pager of his job description and the tasks he has to do, you feel good. You think, wow. But if he pulls out that big fat folder, you know there's a big fail going on here.
Okay, and as we sort of just move into the wrap-up phase of this series of podcasts, so we've evaluated our plan, we've done all the risk assessments, we've updated it, we've taken actions, and now what if it happens, because there's no such thing as a complete security scenario, there's always going to be incidents and near misses. So what's the, what about incidents still occurring? Because they are still going to occur in many cases. So what's the, how is that dealt with, Julian?
It's intelligence. When an incident happens, it's happened. You can't cry about it. You've got to deal with it on the spot and then really evaluate what went wrong. Maybe nothing went wrong. Maybe the criminals, and they're always doing this, they evolve like a virus. They evolve. They get clever at what they're doing. We need to learn that, understand it, and then develop our defense. Our vaccines to prevent the attack. And it may also tell her something else. It may be that business has been doing, let's take an example of a last mile delivery where drivers have been stopped, attacked by gangs for the theft of the goods they're carrying to retail outlets, plus the cash. And this is a pretty violent country, and drivers are being killed. Now, you can put all sorts of devices and planning around routes and this and that and the other. Is it going to stop that activity? No. So maybe there's a different way of doing this. So it may not just be a security plan. It may be a whole business evaluation. And this is the whole purpose of security, is to work in conjunction with business to form a proper, mutually effective plan. Jolly good.
Hey. Thank you very much, Julian. Well, that's been a great end to our first series of podcasts. Thanks for listening to Cargo Conversations. You can keep up to date with our regular podcasts by going to www.cslglobal.com and clicking on Cargo Conversations.